everyone. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I love talking to all of you. Radiance by Design is a call-in show, and it's a call-in show really about you and about me and how we're learning to radiate consciously, how we're dealing with the shift. What does the shift really mean to you on a very mundane level? What does it mean to you on the huge collective level? And let me see, what is required? When I said of the mundane level, what is required of you and I in order to make the shift? People like Lynn McTaggart, who did the intention experiment, and much more research. She's an amazing journalist who's done research on what intentions do to groups of people all over the world. She brings together wonderful bits and pieces of research about people who are working with, for example, gangs and turning around their animosity, and that their only approach as defensive beings are to really attack each other and create a very vicious hierarchy. She talks about how those kinds of hidden, for example, competition, dog-eat-dog, that kind of thing can be dispelled. This is not her own research. Her research is about the research that's being done with people. But in any case, reading some of her books, and her latest book is The Bond, and she talks about how these people are literally changed. They become a very peace-oriented community consciousness when they become focused on a common goal, like healing their families, like having a safe community, like beginning entrepreneurial projects and supporting each other to create those. She's not the only one who maintains this, but she's the one I've been reading lately. I read a lot of books because of Paradigm Shifters, which is an interview show on Tuesday nights with people who are really making a difference in the collective at this time. So I'm reading more books on this particular subject than I can even keep straight in my own head. But basically what's coming up over and over again is that the shift is something that we're going to make. The shift is the fantasy, the promise, the huge prophecy that there's going to be a shift, and we're going to have a long period of heaven on earth. And during that shift, we are all going to accommodate the changing frequencies in such a way that instead of it being me, 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 whoever gets the most money wins, or whoever has the most power wins, and I'm better than you if I have a nice house on a hill and clean and tidy children who go to university than if you're scrabbling away and working very hard in the ditches or whatever. You know, all of that comparative stuff, all of that we have heard over and over again is going to change, and we're watching the corporate deterioration, or we're watching the deterioration of our financial industry, as I heard it called today, with the stock markets and so on, and everybody knows it's really corrupt, or all the political spin coming through the media, everybody knows that you can't believe anything you hear because it's built for marketing, not built for information. And we've learned that this is the time in history where the Book of Revelation says, you know, a lot of the conflagrations and all kinds of things are coming apart. And I sort of chuckle and go, well, this is probably it, because everything looks like it's crazy-making. And most of the people I know don't know which system or which leader to trust on any level, whether it's the mortgage world, the political world, the financial world, or the, you know, name it. It's just all crazy. So that was a long preamble that I didn't plan to make, but some of my clients, I have clients all over the place, and some wonderful, wonderful people, and some of them have been asking me lately to work with the feminine. And the reason for that is because as we want to make the shift so that we're not in a competitive kind of a grueling environment, we're also hearing that the divine feminine is moving through our species, is rising in the species, and this patriarchal world that we're all accustomed to is going to give over to more of a feminized process. Now, that's really interesting, except that what keeps coming up for a lot of people is really a lot of awareness of how much, and I'm going to ask you tonight to almost brutally or very frankly look within yourself and your own feelingness to see if you don't have a deeply competitive, I guess I want to say fervor. For example, I know a lot of healers, all right? And it's really scary. Somebody becomes a healer and you have to be extremely sensitive and there's a certain amount of rebuke because you're stepping out of the system. And so you kind of fight for your sanity because you could be a nutcase because you're stepping out of the box. And in that process, there's a few other people around who stepped out of the box. And if you're not careful, they get all the clients. Or, you know, and then up comes the competition again. And the sensitivity of the feminine, that increased sensitivity, is something that we're kind of wary of. It has to be, it's like a pick me world, isn't it? Everything's marketed. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Though we're talking about the shift and non-competitive, be the truth of who you are, become really authentic, because you're the only one, and I've known this for years, that you're the only one in the universe that's you. You're the only one. We're snowflakes, aren't we? And so, but, that urge to compete, or that urge to compete just to protect ourselves, is something that's in ourselves, our DNA, our codons, and all these other things we're hearing so much about these days. And how do we, these are my clients calling from different places, saying, how do we deal with the rising of the feminine and this incredibly expanded divine feminine that we're supposed to be able to handle? And still be living in this world where we feel, if I don't market enough, I don't get enough business, and, you know, you'll get all the business, you know. It's just, it's so insidious. And unless we, this is something I'm going to ask you all to do tonight, unless we actually look inside of ourselves and unless we monitor within ourselves when we get those pushes and jolts of competitive energy or the deep insecurity that comes up and can make a very sensitive person quite vicious. I'm not saying that every sensitive person has to be vicious. I'm not saying that everybody beats each other up for position. But I am saying that there's a deep subconscious angst that separates us one from the other. And it's very difficult for us to enter a field of oneness, and yet it's rising. So how are you doing with it all? How are you feeling? Are you aware of what I'm saying, that sometimes, oh my goodness, it's really hard just to let go and not only just allow yourself, but pluck the weeds inside or pluck the emotions inside and allow those amazing spiraling lights to carry your frequencies up and out, to process, pull out frequencies that are holding you back and holding you down from whatever trauma drama you've experienced, and that's been a lot, not just in this life. So it's really, really important for us to be looking at that, for us to, my guides always say, 95% of the job of our evolution is clearing. And I think that makes sense, you know. So as you recognize that your belly clutches, or you start sweating that you're not good enough to achieve something, and you can feel that subtle pressure of the people around you who might be better than you or look better than you or make more than you and so on. I refer to Lynn McTaggart because she's got great research on, for example, suicide. It says that some of the biggest, I'm not sure if it's the biggest or the second or the third or something, largest group on the planet that heads towards suicide are in the wealthy zone, but they're not the ones that are just down a tier from the ones with the most wealth, and they feel so frustrated because they can't kind of get up that ladder, that one more step. And then a lot of people, like when people are cast out of families, a lot of us in the healing mode have experienced some aspect of that. A lot of people who are cast out of families are suicide because they don't belong anymore. And again, that's a kind of a comparative thing. It's not I am who I am. It's I am in context. I am in relationship. I am beside someone else, good enough to be in that group. You know, it's really, really deep in us to be afraid of, I don't want to say afraid of authenticating, but I think it kind of is the way I'm talking right now. I'm going, it kind of boils down to that. That if you really become who you are you going to be held in the same group? Will you belong? Will you be able to handle alienation should that come up? You and I know, I mean, if you read novels and so on and watch good movies, alienation is often a subject for somebody, I can't even think of an example right now, but somebody who becomes a hero to actually go through the rocky path of authentication and then putting out his or her own invention or true nature, like the book or the movie, whatever it is that you create, okay? And we all know that epic poetry is often about the person who leaves the nest and really becomes, you know, a great seeker around the world in order to become realized inside. So all of that's part of it. But back to the initial conversation was, this is a time of, in quotes, the shift. And in this time, we have the frequencies have changed out there in the universe and here on our planet and within us. And we have the opportunity, if we should take it, to really tear up some of the lineage material that's been, I like to think of it as tyrannizing our subconscious, keeping us in a pack of people that have to kind of fight to market ourselves in this world and have to behave in the box and so on. Are we going to be able to authenticate so that we can really just truly love ourselves, appreciate our uniqueness, our individuality, bring up the divine feminine, nurture one another, not just compete, but nurture one another? Can women, or the female side of our being, so that's for you guys as well, can we get strong enough in ourselves to stop doing that? Can we present into the world in such a way that we don't need to do those insidious, underhanded, competitive things that women do? You know, if I have the prettiest hairdo, the best breasts, or whatever, I'll get my man, and then watch out because somebody's going to take him. I think it's that underlying thing that the feminine has used over and over to either betray others and conquer, or you know all this. So that's what I'd like to talk about tonight, and I'd love it if you call in. But first we're going to do our meditation. I love to do the sacred geometrics, the structures, and we've been doing this for a long time, and my guides and angels, I downloaded that a long time ago, 6 years ago to be exact. And there are many, many, there are many styles of doing it. There are many styles of doing structures. And today, just a little aside, I was given the experience of a 111 activation with Christine Upchurch. Some of you know Christine as she was Eric Pearl's sidekick in The Reconnection. And she wrote to me a while back and said, oh, I can't believe it that there's this experience that I've had where we've had some new downloads and I'm teaching a different mode. And I was delighted today when I went there for my experience with her that they're using structures. There's a certain kind of structures that a young woman channeled through for them. And there's a lot of similarities to our structures, although I've kept them simple on purpose. They get complicated sometimes, but I keep them simple so we can do them over the air. But these were the definitions that they were saying were that these structures had an acute impact on you know how there are aspects in our energy body where the intersections keep us running certain patterns and so on. So these structures are a way to, I think I'm phrasing it all right, these structures are a way to energize these points so that they can open and change and allow access to higher frequency or allow us to absorb and integrate higher frequency energy. So it's a really exciting system. I really felt transcended lying on that table. I love that. So let's get transcended and lie on the table that you and I have created in our own structure. So now let's call in. Let's see. Take a couple of deep breaths and close your eyes. right? And above your head, about 2 miles, create a golden ball, very bright golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And remember, drop the filament of light from the upper golden ball through the spine into the lower golden ball. Now, from the upper golden ball to about waist height, a distance from your body, drop a four-sided pyramid with gold lines. And then upside down, with its point going into the lower golden ball, another four-sided pyramid. The two pyramids meet, and they create an octahedron, an eight-sided figure. And see if you can feel. Yeah, I feel the energy building as we do that. Do you? And now inside of that, create a crystal ball. And the crystal ball touches the inside of your octahedron. And now inside of your crystal ball, put yourself in a star tetrahedron. That's a three-dimensional Star of David. I start drifting because I can really feel it in my body buzzing. Mm-hmm. And now I want you to spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron. And now let's just play. Whilst you're spinning and spinning, I always get you to put a movie of yourself and how you want to become. But today, let's be really specific. Let's put a movie of yourself becoming free of the old defensive patterns of the feminine, allowing yourself to rise into, to shift into the into a new kind of feminine. What is she? She's intuitive, nurturing. Let her feel multidimensional as well. It's okay if you're male or female, because we have both sides, don't we? So let's give the feminine a chance to unfurl and feel yourself on that first screen. See yourself absolutely clearing out some of the very, very tight, old, defensive, competitive things. They have to be, the guides to throw in, they're very wily, right? Those are wily things. We're so intuitive. By nature, I always think our intuition is what we used to use before phones and stuff to make sure the kids were okay or to know what's going on. The psychic used to be used. You know, the psychic part of our nature can be really fear-based, because I think it used to be used easily and effortlessly for the radar, you know, so you knew when something was wrong. That's right. So I feel like that's still in us. We have layers and layers and layers. We have high intuition as well, which talks about possibilities, multidimensionality, and sees beyond in wonderful ways. So it goes from fear to incredible consciousness, right? And now let's see ourselves bringing up those feminine. There you go. And yes, and let's just see that movie where you become freer and freer to really be the divine feminine. Amazing feeling, seeing, nurturing, knowing. And when you feel you've accomplished that, wrap that in light. Now let's do our second screen. And on our second screen, I think that I'm always asking you to go on the second screen and then create your favorite dream project. But today, let's create a community with feminine support. So I like to think of the collective as moving, the shift moving this feminine energy, this expansive, nurturing feminine energy right through the whole collective. How's that? So that we're nurturing. We look after each other. Not in a codependent way. I can't be anything if I don't look after you, but just in the natural. We look after the earth. We look after one another. We look after the children. We look after health. We look after education. We look after our spiritual evolution. Let's call it evolution, eh? And laughter. Yay. So I'd like to see that as the project tonight. And if you don't want to, that's okay. You do what you like. And as I see that project, it looks like it's fun. And we're dancing and laughing. And remember, women move kind of laterally, or we're just always reaching out in 42 directions at a time, right? Now wrap that in light. And let's open the Galactic Healing Center. And remember, you bring in your team, your healing team, as a part of your unseen team, and have them circle around the healing table. And the first person you bring in is yourself. So you lay on your healing table. So much fun. And I want you to bring up feelings of, like, that competitive feeling or that insecurity that if I don't do enough, I won't make it on the planet. You know that deep, deep feeling that makes us separate, very separate from everyone? You know, it's competitive. However you see it, defensive, competitive, insecure. Bring that up and hand it to this healing team and see what they have to say. Where is it in your body? Is it in your hand? In your forehead? Yeah. In your belly, gastrointestinal. And now listen carefully to your guides and angels because they have something to tell you. Because you and I know we're highly unique and that we've only just begun to tap some of our amazing potential as a human being, who you really are. That's amazing multidimensional potential. All I see is the healing team starting to laugh, and I feel myself rising and becoming lighter and freer. And I'm immediately putting my double tetrahedron into my belly area. For some reason, they just want that to go there, and it's spinning and spinning and spinning. And now we're going to let that continue, wrap it in light, move it over to the side. You might want to remember what your team said to you about you. Now let's bring in a fresh table and a fresh team. The team's so magical, they can replicate themselves. Now I'm, goody, you're on the air, but just wait a moment while we finish the meditation, if you don't mind. Thanks for calling. So now let's bring in someone who is... Actually, this woman is having an awful time. She's really an angry woman. She has a couple of sisters. There's a lot of women around her, but she feels like they all have more than she does, and she feels that she's been rebuked by life. Yes, and she has a huge, tremendous tension in her heart and in her legs. Very, very deep tension, and there's a fixed focus in her brain about how much everyone has and she doesn't. It's quite interesting. And I'm asking, and there are sisters around her, and she cannot relax with them. She can't seem to just, there we are. So we're asking for help with that because she's feeling, you see, she's morning, noon, and night. She's in competition but doesn't even know it. And that's really sad, isn't it? It's making the others feel judged and afraid, and it's making her feel relentlessly struggling all the time. And they're running lights. Okay, good. They're running lights through her belly area, which houses the subconscious and karma, as you know, and everybody else's influence. They're running lights in this huge spinning it's like a really interesting structure. They're running in her solar plexus. Very gold. It has little gold balls all around it. And they're swishing her heart chakra with kind of fuchsia light. And they're pulling out a whole pressure, and the throat is getting pulled. Good. And now they're running it right from the perineum right up through to the top of her head. Now we're just going to let them continue working with her and move that to the right. And now we're going to bring in a political situation. How about that? Bring in a fresh team and the table. Now, I don't know what's happening with all the corporate struggles and the dissemblement of certain power structures and so on. So let's bring in the whole, Obamacare just went in or was just affirmed. And let's bring in the whole, I don't know what to call it. Let's bring in the whole political situation for Europe. How about that? It's actually, let's just bring it all in, because for the whole economic thing that's all over the world, it's all interwoven, isn't it? It's not just one thing, whether it's the euro or whether it's Obamacare or whether it's the spin between the Republicans and the Democrats or whether it's the newspaper scandals that are going on. Let's bring them all in. Let's see the systems that are dissembling and facing the revelations all coming in and sitting on the table. And let's see the infusion of an awakening to the reality that it's an infusion of this amazing light that they're sending through right now, through the perineums of everyone there. And if the big structure is one being, we'll call it through its perineum. And it's a gold and silver and kind of a purple light that's coming up through the perineum and just filling these beings. So they can actually feel at least glimmers of the rising feminine, the capacity to nurture one another and the earth and the universe for that matter in order to create heaven on earth. Let's see if we can send enough light and get the team to do that, send enough light through all of these official beings to bring that glimmer up into the usable areas of their intellect. Yeah, because they could nurture each other, couldn't they? And now let's just infuse this amazing group of beings with power that they can't even imagine. The real power that comes up in each of us is the power to transform, the power to be multidimensional, the power to use our, you know this, we've got unfulfilled, amazing possibilities. Let's see some of that awakening in these people. The power for the greater, because we are all one, aren't we? And as the light moves up through them, we'll wrap them in light and move it to the side, and then we're going to call in beautiful fuchsia light from the universe, from the great central sun, fuchsia and gold, and have it come down through your head, down through your heart, and out your arms and hands. And I want you to spend a few minutes patting various parts of the planet where it needs healing and where people need inspiring, where people need nurturing and food, where people need sleep and they need one another and they need to stop with the wars and so on. Let's see ourselves patting the planet with this beautiful, beautiful softening feminine light. Oh my, I can feel it just buzzing. And send it round and round and round our planet until there's a beautiful radiance coming off the planet. And those beings from different galactic centers that want to join us at some point, or some that are screened and otherwise would join us, can really see that we can awaken and we can become one, and they can share with us. And now have that light go round and round the planet back into your hands, up your arms, fill your heart. Move up through your head, out into the great central sun. And now close off the Galactic Healing Center. Jump into your star tetrahedron. Let's just spin our way home, spin and spin and spin and spin. And now we already have someone on the air, so if we step out of our star tetrahedron, also could be our Merkaba, but we need to work with it a little differently for that. We have a caller already. Good evening. You're on the air.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hi. How are you?
I could be better.
You could be better? Well, you've come to the right place. Hopefully the guides and angels will help you get better.
Thank you so much.
What's your first name?
My first name is David.
Okay.
My first name is Doug.
Doug, okay.
Thank you. I sent some questions in for the next show. I called early. I didn't realize that I would get on early, too.
Well, Bob, my wonderful partner, will get my computer so I can read the questions for the next show. But I'll wait till Jackie's show to read them, right, Doug?
That's fine. I have a question, and perhaps I could help with the healing. I felt like there was something weird going on, and I don't know what, with my relationship with my girlfriend. So I moved out almost 2 years ago, and I've never been able to get over her. I feel her energy. I feel her. And I don't know if I'm still dealing with spells or witchcraft, or I'm just in love with the girl and I made a mistake, you know. Seems like, you know, when I started dating her, I had a very successful business, and it's gone to zero, and I'm just looking for healing or answers.
Okay, I want to ask you several things. One, first of all, how long were you with her?
2.5 years.
Okay. There, you have some big conflicts in yourself. Did you like your business?
I did really well, and for some reason I can't communicate the same way as I used to in it. I wanted to, you know, Obamacare. I felt all these things coming. I wanted to change my practice from a health practice to a more spiritually oriented one to move through these coming times so I could assist people from that spiritual soul level of clearing their negative patterns, which gets them over their health conditions without treating the health condition. I'm very talented at it. But when I started dating this lady, and it may have nothing to do with her because it was right when the economy was tanking, you know, $1 million practice went down and down and down and down, and now I've been struggling, even though occasionally God sends me a great client that keeps me going for a while. I'm finding it hard to practice like that, and I'm finding it very difficult to write my books, to focus. I have these high-pitched sounds in my ears, and my brain shuts down pretty quick, and this has been going on for about 3-4 years since I started dating the gal. It started with headaches and then turned into the high-pitched.
Out. Wow, it's interesting because it's a very karmic thing, isn't it? You know, it's very interesting, Doug, because I want to say this about you, is this is a huge clearing, and there's a kind of a triumph coming where you're going to, you could say on a cellular level, she has come in with a power. There's a power between the two of you that is kind of destructive. It's left from something. And I don't want to say witchcraft. I don't want to say anything like that. But I do say that in your pelvic area, especially around the back, you've got a lot of gooey stuff there. But they're saying that you're going to move out of that. And it's like you're going to pop out. It's one of those things that takes you right down. In AA, they would say you had to hit the bottom. You're almost done, and you're about to pop back up again, but I think she came as an activator for stuff that was left in there. And you must have been learning a lot about yourself, your confidence. I don't want to pick on you and call you names, but you must have found some of the things that you wanted to change in yourself, or there's been a humbleness coming up. And I think you're going to do really well, but the ability to be a spiritual teacher is going to be absolutely enhanced by this purification. There's a cleaning and purifying process that you're going through still. Does that make any sense at all?
It does. I don't know how it helps at the moment. I can't help but think about this woman every day, and I don't know if it's just cleansing process, or I'm supposed to call her up and tell her how much I love her and marry her.
You know what?
Or if that's going to be destructive, or that's going to be totally destructive. I don't know why I cannot be discerning enough. I left because I thought that some things did get activated, and I thought that was the answer. And now I'm very confused, and a little scared financially, because usually I have, you know, a great deal more money.
Well, listen to this part. This is kind of funny. This is hard. That when you have a deep a soul connection, as you do with this woman, you never really get away from it. It could have been millions of years. I don't know. I mean, actually, it was a long, long time that you've been attached. And most people can't get over that very well. How, because you don't get over it. You just learn to move it aside because you're not going to live into it. But my sense of you, what the guides are saying, is that if you want to go back to her, that wouldn't be a bet. We're not deciding that for you. But you want to make sure that you've cleared the parts of you that started to go downhill, and because you were activated by her and the leftover karma, that part's almost done. So we would say to you, wait a while, wait a while. Then you can go back if you want, but you will not be, well, let's put it another way, victimized by stuff that was left from ancient cellular doodah, because you don't need to do that anymore. But you're not quite finished. There's a huge clearing you're still going to go through, and then you could make a decision as if it's a new idea. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
You
got thrown into it. It's not over. Go ahead.
Is there something more that we can do, either on the air or off the air, that will help to deepen this, accelerate it, complete it?
They're probably on the air. It would be too much to do right now. But what I'm seeing, I'll give you an idea anyway, and this is for people at home as well, is where you're really attached is running right through your spinal column and around the pelvic area in the back. It's a huge part of you, and something about your eyes, and that it is so, it's so hard to put it in linear terms. If we could unhook the way you're hooked into that karma, then it's a no thing. Now, I don't know if we can do that, but that's what needs to happen. And I think you're already doing it. I think you're coming close to the time where that detachment is very possible. And then you might turn and go back to her. You won't be hooked in the same way. It's something that needs to be unhooked. It's a vengeful thing, and she doesn't even know. I mean, she's not sitting around trying to hurt you.
It felt like there was some sort of vengeful energy attacking me, and I was feeling
huge.
It through my body. My body hurt so badly. I couldn't sleep for a year. I hurt. I had lots of different healings where I got better when I was away. You know, I had the healings out of town, so to speak, and I come back and, you know, home to her, it would start right back up, and I couldn't sleep. I had to make a choice, and I said, I can't go on another year without sleeping and having all this pain. It's so bad, I left.
Well, you know something? I think that you did the right thing, but I don't think you have to stay away forever, but I think you need to stay away for a while longer and really get pulling that up, because it is a vengeful thing. But I don't even think she knows it's there.
She doesn't. I told her, I said, there is some sort of, for lack of a better word, some sort of dark thing that's coming through you. I wish you could look in and see what it is. I mean, she's a psychic healer.
But I don't think she's seeing it, honey. I don't think she's seeing it.
Oh, no, no. She got defensive right away and said, you're calling me evil. It's like, I said, no, not you. I said, whatever is coming through, but it's hurting me. It's hurting me, and I have to leave.
You have to stay away from her right now. Still.
Still.
Yeah, because it's in there, and when I look back and try to see who it is and what, it's more like an experience you two had way back, and it was very, very vicious. And I don't even want to try and make pictures here because I'm like, it's pretty ugly. But she doesn't really know it. She's quite a sweet person, you know.
I know she's a very sweet person, tremendously, and kind and generous, and yet. This viciousness I did feel. mm-hmm. and still do. I felt it follow me around for almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm. It's a vengeful. It's a very vengeful thing, and it's ancient. It's really ancient. I think that the greatest thing when you get to the end of this particular phase, you're going to be really grateful because it's pulled something way out of your psyche and so on, but it's not quite out yet. And I would stay away because when we have that kind of thing with someone, and this is really exceptional, it's probably because you're both strong healers, you know? I don't remember what I was going to say. Well, you can't just get away from it. You have to work it out. It's part of your dharma to do that. Do you know that? You know, you've been caught in something together a long time ago, and I still keep going, my gosh, she has no idea. And it's not like she's wrong. It's just something that's left over. It's not okay.
Yeah, she has no idea, and she couldn't figure out why I left.
Yeah.
At all.
Because you can't, you know this, you can't figure out, and I'm telling this to people, too, you can't figure it out. You see? These are the things that sort of grab us and run through us, and you just keep healing, and you stay away until the magnetism of that is gone. But, you know, I think there's a tremendous love here between the two of you.
There is. She doesn't hate me or never want to see me again.
I think she's distressed. I think she's hurt and felt terribly vulnerable, you know.
I don't know. Gone with somebody else. I don't detect it in the year in almost 2 years. I haven't either.
No, I think it distressed her too much for that. She probably is considering. I don't get her to be like a mess. I just feel like
she's focused her energy on being famous and making a lot of money, and those things are happening for her, which is very sweet.
Well, honey, I think that, and you have to phone and let us know, but I feel like you are going to be done with this part of it in the next, let's see, what is this? This is June. I would say in the next month or so, even if you don't have healings, just keep pulling it up and get it going. And have you got good body workers?
Energy healing, but no one working deep in the tissues.
So there's something about the back of your back, your spine, the pelvic area, where it all comes together, that you want to get somebody energetically to pull something out of there. I think that would help a lot. But I think it's going to come up anyway. You look like you're pretty much done with this. It's one of those chapters of clearing that you look back and go, oh, Lordy, I never want to do that again, you know. But you want it done.
I mean, I've been doing stuff almost daily for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything I earn, I put into this. I mean, literally. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. Well, maybe we can spend a few minutes just chatting about it tomorrow, because I think we're taking too long on the radio. Because I'm watching, and I'm knowing that something can be pulled out still. But I'm telling you, Doug, I think over the next month you're going to find the release that you want anyway. You see, it's almost ready to pop. Be really good. You're doing a workout or something, a physical workout, aren't you?
I haven't been, and I just joined a club, and I've been swimming and working out the last week.
Okay, because I feel like that's part of what's going to get rid of it for you, but it's really a cellular attachment, and I think it's almost done. So fill us in. Let us know.
Okay. Is there a way to you want me to contact you tomorrow?
Yeah, if you do that, send me an email, Veronica@VeronicaAntWhistle, and I'll make sure that I'm ready when you're ready to call.
I will. Thank you so much, Veronica.
All right, honey. Take care.
Blessings to you. Thank you.
And to you, Doug. This is a really interesting subject, because we're talking about deep, insidious competition and things that prevent us from making the shift, things that prevent, and, you know, he was just an illuminating force, wasn't he? That soul stuff comes up, and it's hard for us not to be self-protective and not to be defensive. It's really interesting. Now, if you'd like to call in, we have a few months left on the radio here. Actually, we have a few minutes left. 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. And so I just want to say that sometimes the competition thing, don't be sitting around going, I'm not competitive, ah, la, 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 because when Doug is a perfect example of how he has been, in many ways you could call it being attacked, or many of us who have had karmic relationships, very often they're the short ones that really put you through it. It's like those bring deep feelings of survival that make us defend ourselves, and learning to face it and learning to really bring it up and pull it out and trust the process is really hard work. But I really believe that as we go through the shift, and I think this is true for Doug and hopefully for all of us, as we go through all the changing frequencies and the lightening of the load out there and our ability to integrate higher and higher frequency energies, a lot of the stuff is popping out. The worst part about that is that, you know, here you're trying to pull up competition, for example, or feminine wiles, or, you know, that subterfuge that women have done, we have done. If you're trying to pull that stuff up, sometimes it can be really ugly. Uglier than you can ever imagine being, because it's kind of logged in our body. Our bodies are like, our energy bodies and our bodies are like libraries, aren't they? I sort of chuckle. People always say, oh, the whales, they've got ancient information and blah, blah, blah. Well, so do we, guess what? You know, I think it was Barbara Han Clow that was talking about how, she's the Mayan calendar lady, and she was talking about how 11,000 years ago, something terribly traumatic happened on the planet, and all of us, the whole collective, took on a trauma frequency, which we sometimes bring up. You know, if you look at that kind of ancient stuff, this is a huge, huge paradigm shift that's going on, the rising of the feminine and the feel and the shift and the capacity for humanity to be absolutely more fulfilling, fulfilled, more powerful than anything we've ever imagined. But we've got to drop the old defensive, power over, if I have it, you don't kind of thing. We have to drop that, and it's pretty scary. I feel like you're slipping into the abyss sometimes, or you feel like you're absolutely assaulted by some of your own energy that's stuck in there. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I've been doing interviews on paradigm shifters for the Dowsers Conference, not just for them, but I love these people. Dowsers are really interesting people. They're people who are witchers, you know, with the Y-shaped rods and the L-shaped rods and the pendulums and so on. And the reason that they're so fascinating is if anybody goes to the Dowsers Conference in Santa Cruz, July 6th to the 12th, it's really a soft, talk about non-competitive. One of the things that they do in their practice is the more you douse, the more you're actually in alignment with the universe. So that your body, mind, and all your cells are kind of pulsing, and they seem to be, I guess they would call it being attuned to universal energy. So they're learning to assess what's coming off the land and off people, and they're getting answers because they have to learn to get out of their own way and let the universe come through, because if you're in your own way, you'll get the answers you want, but they won't actually be pure and fresh and real. So I've been interviewing these people, but in any case, last Tuesday, some of you might have heard Rob Ryan, who is a guy who douses over, he's an astrologer. These are all available in the archives, so you might like to catch up on some of this. But Rob Ryan is an astrologer who likes to douse solutions. So if you've got a conflict that shows up in your astrological doodah at this time, he would actually douse potential solutions, and he's had amazing successes with people on that. And and Gladys McCoy, I mean, she was talking so much about dowsing for spirituality and for her own enlightenment, and dowsing a path of power through that, and power not being power over, right? Path of empowerment, really, through these swashbuckling times of change. And who's coming up is Betty Epstein, who uses hypnotherapy for people to deepen, and so they can, let me see, how does she use it? I haven't talked to her very much yet, but in any case, she deepens people in hypnotherapy to get them more able to find or access those places where they can get the real answers, where they can really douse that. She also is good at dowsing about the Mayan situation, so that would be an interesting experience. And about water diversion, you know, if the water is running in the wrong kind of direction, the dowsers can actually impact the way the energy that is involved with running the water under the surface. Anyway, it's been very interesting going back to releasing some of these competitive energies inside, or some of these old-fashioned defensive feminine energies. These dowsers are all kind of going through those changes by having to be in alignment with their higher presence and the universe. And so tune in on Tuesday night. I'll be doing Betty Epstein. We'll be talking to Betty Epstein. And I'm not really sure who else. It might be Susan Collins from Canada, who teaches dowsing there. And she's really a wise woman who's done tremendous. I think she does minerals and so on, finds out where they are in the earth. But then they can actually have an impact on the quality of these things. So Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, Paradigm Shifters. And then at the top of the hour tonight, Jackie and the team are going to be talking about becoming authentic. I'm really eager to hear about that. And of course, I'm lucky I get to sit there and hopefully ask some questions and hear close up and personal what the team has to say. She channels this wonderful team. And if you'd like to write in any questions to Jackie, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle, no H in Entwistle.com. And also, if you'd like to give me feedback on this show, if you'd like to suggest guests for Paradigm Shifters, if you'd like a session with me or for any reason at all, let me know how you're doing. I thank you so much for listening to the show. Again, my email is Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. Let's all take a deep breath and send blessings out to one another in our Radiance by Design community. Thank you so much for listening. Many blessings. I hope to see some of you at the top of the hour. Good night.